Good evening. It's good to see some people when it's cold and when there's World Cup soccer. How many of you watched the rugby yesterday? We're on the map, eh? East London is on the map. It's the third test ever, apparently, Andre said. I hope that's right. My husband's normally good with his stats, so third test ever played in East London. So in your lifetime, can you believe it? We have the box here in East London. But in any case, we saw the Italians in the gym. When? During the week. And Andre said to me, oh, you know, they're not that big. what would the world be without sport? I don't know. Do you think it will be a better place? No. We need sport, eh? We need that, especially the men, you know. We don't make war anymore like in Braveheart. I know all the men want to make war like Mel Gibson. But, you know, now at least you can cheer for the Booker. So, how many of you have ever gone on holiday and then how many of you are on holiday at the moment? Oh. Can you believe it? Enjoy, okay? Enjoy your holiday. How many of you have ever gone on holiday and then you come back home and then you're more tired than before the time? How many of you? Okay, great. Well, let me tell you, when you have a little baby, it happens all the time. You know, when Andre and I really want to take a break, a rest, then we don't go away. I mean, you should actually go away for holiday. You should get out of your house and out of your normal environment. But now with our little one, 18 months old, we the best rest we can get is we stay at home and we still drop him off at school and then we rest. But, you know, I've realized that there's something in all of us that craves rest, not only physical rest, but some rest. You know, when you come home from a long day of work, I mean, my life's very different now to what it used to be, but especially when I still worked at PwC, it's an auditing firm, for those of you who don't know. You know, when I get home, I just need a break, you know, after a long day of work, especially when you've worked overtime, when you worked over weekends. You know, this is why normally, you know, this is a generalization, but when men come home from work, they just need a break, you know. And I really understand that, you know. I've learned in my married life, you know, not to give Andre a to-do list when he walks into the house. So for those of you not married, please make a mental note. Never, ever. You know, I'm unfortunately a to-do list girl, which is good and bad. But, you know, I don't do that anymore. But, I mean, I used to on a Saturday morning, you know, there's so many things I want to do. All my personal, you know, to-dos. Then I would wake up, and while we're still lying in bed, I would go... I would say to Andre, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this, and you need to help me with that. Then he would just say to me, Sonika, please, please. It's Saturday morning. I'm still waking up. Please, just keep that list for yourself. You know, and I've learned over the years not to share my list with my husband all the time because, you know, people differ. And, you know, some people just need, I think all of us, we just need a break sometime, hey? We really do. I mean, it's good to be productive. It's good to work. It's godly to work. It's godly to work hard. But we often just need a break. This is why holiday is good. But tonight I want to talk about something, you know, called God's rest, which is not necessarily a physical, you know, just read a book, watch a movie, sleep in, or, you know, not a physical thing, but it's a rest we need to enter that is, it's in our hearts. Okay, this is what I want to talk about. And, I mean, how many of you have ever felt burdened or burnt out? I mean, be honest. Okay, great. Thank you, Zona, for your enthusiasm. You know, all of us come to a point, sometimes we just feel burnt out. We just want to run away. We just want to hide ourselves somewhere. And we don't want to face anyone or anybody or any challenge because we just finished. Okay? I've been there in my life. And why do you think we come to that point? Anyone? Why do you think we come to a point where we just can't face the world anymore? Anybody? There's no right or wrong answer. Anyone who wants to take a guess? Too many commitments. Definitely. Anything else that make you feel burdened, burned out? You want to run away? You want to take holiday forever for the rest of your life? Anything? A major crisis and you don't know how to handle that? When things don't go according to plan. You know, you can think of so many reasons. I know in my life, definitely too many things, too little time. You know, like Weber says, too many commitments. You know, I think the one thing that gets me stressed is there's too many things and I don't have time to do it. I mean, I'm reading a book now, very interesting, about personality types. It's actually how to raise your kids. But now they take it literally from birth to 2 years and then from two to, say, you know, primary school. And then they also evaluate adult personalities. So now we figure out, you know, that one in church. Oh, we got his personality. Very, very interesting. But in any case, you know, we all have our different personality types. And what I figured, you know, I want to take you to a story in the Bible. And I'll tell you now what my personality type is, and I'll fit it into my sermon now. But, you know, often when we get burned out or, you know, you just can't take it anymore, I've often realized that I rely on my own strengths. You know, it's often something I can do very well. And I come to a point where I do it, and it's easy, and it's easy, and then all of a sudden, it's just not easy for me anymore. And then I come to a place where I realize, but I'm not relying on God. I'm 100% relying on my own strength. That often happens. You know, we put pressure on ourselves. You know, you say, I've been working for this company now for 10 years. How can I still not be able to handle this kind of situation? How can I still not be able to face that person? How can I still be intimidated by that? You know, we put pressure on ourselves. Or we say, you know, I know God for 10 years now. How can I still not overcome that specific thing? How can I still struggle with an eating disorder or smoking or, you know, not respecting my husband? Or how can I still struggle with anything if I've known God for, you know, we put our own limit on, you know, after 10 years at least, you would have had to sort that out. And anxiety, fear, worries, you know, there's so many things that can get us burdened and burned out. And I want to take you to that story in the Bible. Well-known story. And unfortunately, I identified my personality type, you know, within that story, which is not good for me. Well, it was a bit of a, you know, a shock to me. Actually, I always knew. It's a story about Mary and Martha. Okay, in the Bible, Jesus said to them, I'm going to visit you. It's two sisters. I'm going to visit you. And if you are like me, the Martha type personality, I would have planned that visit 6 months in advance. Okay. If you're not like me, you would have planned it like the day before, maybe. Or maybe the morning. You know, Jesus is coming. Oh, I need to run to Willie's quickly. You know, I would have bought everything at Willie's, I think. My salad, my meat. I don't know where you would have bought it. But I would have just gone to Willie's, got everything there. I would have at least phoned maybe Rizalda. You know, or if for a good recipe, you know, I would have not made my macaroni and cheese, no. Or, you know, if Jesus loved Chinese food, I would have phoned Janet, you know. She spoiled us one evening. It was the most amazing food, I'm telling you. But if you were like me, you would have figured out what Jesus liked and you would have planned it, you know, long in advance. But, you know, now there's Martha, typical me. You know, and Jesus wasn't very pleased with her, let me tell you. I'll come to that. But she was running around. Now, okay, now it's the day. Jesus is here. Jesus is sitting there in your lounge. You know, he arrived the big day after 6 months. And now you are running around, or Sonika, okay, me, Martha, running around, you know. I'm running around. I'm trying to just to please him because it's Jesus, after all, he's visiting, you know, and in the process, I don't enjoy his visit at all. I mean, really, Mary, my sister, she's just sitting there, you know. Can't she just help me? Can't she just, like, get up? Just, like, ask Sonika, can I maybe do something for you? No, she's not doing that. You know what she does? She's sitting there. She's just sitting there talking to Jesus. I mean, really. Now, I come to Jesus. Okay, this is Jesus, all right? Jesus, can't you see that I'm a bit like, you know, can't you ask Mary just to help me? You know, and Jesus is, you know what, I would have thought, you know, I was always a little bit irritated by this story, to be very honest, you know. I'm exposing myself tonight. You know, I always thought if Mary just helped Martha for maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes, she could have also just sit there and talk to Jesus. You know, so I was always like a little bit, you know, really, if Mary just also did a bit, then Martha could have relaxed as well. You see, that was like deep in my heart. You know, then I come to Jesus' answer, and then I realize I'm missing it somewhere. Somewhere I'm missing it. So maybe all of you remember Jesus' answer, but I'll just remind you. He said, you know what, Martha? You are worried and upset about many things. But Mary has chosen, there's one thing that is needed, Jesus says. And Mary has chosen that something. You know, that's a mystery. She's chosen something. And it will not be taken away from her. Okay? And I want you to think about that. Okay, we all have our own interpretation of that one thing. And this is what I want to talk about tonight. But I'm always surprised. Every time I read it, I think, I'm missing it, Lord. I'm missing it altogether because I'm very much like Martha. And I know that. You know, in this book I'm reading, I got a shock the other day because deep in my heart I knew I was kind of like Martha. But when I read it, the book, and it gives you all the personalities and, you know, the different, you fit yourself somewhere, in some way, and then it gives you Bible characters with the same personality. And can you believe it? There's Martha. Martha and somebody else, I can't remember, but when I saw Martha, I just realized, Sonika, you know, maybe Jesus is wanting to tell you something. But let's go to the scripture. I just want to highlight one or two more things. Martha, she had a sister called Mary, okay, Luke 10, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She was probably a natural servant, okay? I want you to keep that in mind. She was probably serving everybody all the time. But that day, she was really distracted. She approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. One thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen something that Martha missed. Again, it might seem, you know, as if Jesus is now against serving and he's against working hard and all you need to do is to sit and listen to Jesus. You know, this is not what he meant. Okay, this is not what he meant. And I know you're thinking, yeah, I know it was coming, Sonika. I know it was coming. I must read my Bible. Guilty. Het me uitgevang. You know, I haven't been reading my Bible as I should, and I know, okay? I know. Reading my Bible, it's not that. But it must be praying then. I mean, maybe I neglected that as well, praying, speaking to God. It must be praying. It's the one thing I know, it's praying. It's not that. But you know what it is? Sonika, I know what it is. I know. That quiet time thing, you know? That place between me and God. And you know, I sit in my room and I talk to God and I close my door and I switch off my cell phone, I switch off the television, that thing. That. And I know I'm guilty, I neglected that as well, and I knew it was coming sometime, you know, I need to work on my quiet time. This is not what I want to talk about. And I'll come to that, I'll come to all of those things, but you know what, I believe with all of my heart, Mary had something, she chose something, and the Bible says it will not be taken away from her, okay? It was something she chose. And it will never, Jesus says, it will not be taken away from her. So no challenge, no circumstances that you can think of, no challenge, not too many commitments, not too little time and too many things to do, nothing can take that away from her. That's something that she chose. And I want to take you to two scriptures, and I know that this is open for interpretation now, but I really believe this is what God showed me. That Mary had a revelation of something that Martha missed. Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Just that. Be still and know that I am God. Proverbs 3 verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, I believe, and I'll explain that now, but I believe Mary, she grasped something, you know, about putting her whole life in the hands of Jesus. To be still and to know that He is God, to trust Him and not to lean on our own understanding. So this is not Jesus being against us working hard, serving. It's Jesus being against us being distracted, being worried, being upset, being all those things that is so, you know, that creates the storm inside of us. And we're sitting in our boat and there's a storm and Jesus is in our boat, but it doesn't make a difference in our lives because we don't trust Him. You know, He's sitting next to us. But we're worried, we're upset, we're distracted. There's this storm. You know, we're challenged. We just want to run away and take a holiday for the rest of our lives. And Jesus is sitting next to us in our boat. But we don't think it's going to make a difference if we ask Him to help. Okay, we don't really trust Him, so we're trying to calm the storm in our own strength. We're working hard. We're trying to, you know, to make all our commitments, to serve, to be everything for everybody, to, you know, to pray and to read your Bible and to serve in the church and to work hard and to, you know, be a provider if you are the man. You're just trying, and you are tired. You're really tired. And there's the storm in your heart. And I believe Mary chose that one thing, to trust in the Lord. So I need two volunteers, please. Two guys. Thanks, Luke. Sorry, Zona. Two guys, preferably. Thanks, Luke. Okay. Come. Thanks. I really appreciate it. Eh? Okay. I hope this is going to... Okay, Luke, do you trust that man?
Half and half.
Yeah. Okay. I want you to face that wall. I want you to stand here.
This is risky.
Okay, I want Luke. I want this man to do a trust fall. Have you ever done that in your life?
Never.
Never. Okay.
How far is it behind me?
You're not allowed to look back, eh? He's not allowed to look back. Okay. I hope Jane went to the gym the last few weeks.
Should I take my phone out of my pocket?
Okay, are you gonna help me count? Okay, we count to three. Luke, you can do it. Okay, we believe in you. Okay, you're gonna help me count. Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. You should have caught him. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, guys. You know, there's something about trust. There's something about, you know, jumping off a cliff in your heart and trusting that Jesus is actually going to catch you. And this is what is so difficult for all of us. You know, doing this trust fall in the Spirit, trusting that Jesus is going to catch you. Okay? There's no guarantee in the natural because there's no plan B. There's no nothing. You just need to trust Jesus that he's going to catch you. And I want you to think about the one person you trust, not God. I want you to think about a person on earth that you trust. Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's your wife or your husband. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's your best friend. Okay? Do you all have somebody? I hope you have somebody. And I want you to think about that person, okay? Your relationship with that person. Now, I want to believe that all of you share your secrets with that person. I want to believe that all of you share your heart, your deepest, you know, if there's anyone, maybe you don't share your heart with anybody, but if there's one person you will share your heart with, things that you share with nobody else, it will be that person. If there's somebody you really, really trust, you will ask his advice and you will actually follow it. You know, sometimes people ask advice and they think, oh, what do you know after all? You will follow his advice because you trust him, you know. He will ask if you go into Mthatha. Johan knows everything about going to Mthatha. Many of you know all about going to Mthatha, you know, up in the Transkei. All those roads, you will ask, you know, Ken, do I need a 4x4 or would my little Corsa do it? You know, Andre was going to a wedding the one day, it was Nelson Mandela's grandson. I said to him, are you going to go off-road? No, we're not going to go off-road. You know, I said, if you're going to go off-road, you're not taking, you know, it's kind of our cars, you know, but the Corsa is kind of my car, you know. It's my little car. We bought it for me. So I said to him, you're not taking the Corsa if you're going to go off-road. You know, if you go off-road, you take a City Golf. City Golf can go anywhere. No, Sonika, we're not going to go off-road. You know, when he got home, he told me everything. Okay, but it wasn't his mistake. Eh? It was wrong information. But my poor Corsa, I could just see her suffer, you know, through all those. But in any case, if you trust somebody, you're going to ask advice about a road, and you're going to follow his advice, okay? You will spend time with that person because you will feel safe. You'll actually feel whatever you are and whatever you're going to show him or her, it's going to be okay because you trust him. Okay, this is what marriage ultimately should be like, you know, that place of safety. And you know what? If you trust somebody, you're going to leave your goldfish with that person over the holidays. And the goldfish are actually going to live. Okay, say you believe, so you hope. But or your kitten, you know, your kitten or your dog, you're going to leave something that is very special to you. Like Tina's dog is going to leave it to somebody, you know, whom you really trust. But you're gonna trust that person with something that is really special to you. This is trust, okay? This is what trust is all about. And, you know, if you think about Jesus, if you really trust Jesus, if you trust God, you're going to talk to Him. You're going to share your heart with Him. So what I want to come to is reading your Bible and prayer and that quiet time thing, you know, we all know about. It's sometimes so intimidating, and it shouldn't be. It's going to happen spontaneously if you trust in the Lord, because He's going to be your best friend. He's going to be the one you trust no matter what happens. You know, you're going to share your heart with Him. You're going to share your secrets with Him. You will want to spend time with Him because you feel safe. You will ask His advice and follow it. So we will read the Bible, and we will be obedient because we know that whatever He has to say to us is going to benefit us. And we're going to leave our spiritual kittens and dogs and, you know, whatever is precious to you, you're going to leave it with God because you know He's going to take care of it. So what I want to come to is, if we put our trust in the Lord, we're going to enter a place of rest that nobody and nothing would be able to snatch that away from us, because we will have a best friend who is in our boat. Jonathan, don't you want to just go back to my picture? I want you to look at this and just imagine a storm. I wanted to show you a DVD, but it's like 15 minutes about Toby's adventures. We show it to the children. It's so cute, I'm telling you. But there's this whole thing about Jesus calming the storm, and then Toby asking, "But who is this guy?" You must see it. It's very cute. But I want you to imagine, for those of you with a right brain. For those of you who only have left brain, like me, you know, you just focus, okay? You can do it. Just picture a storm. Just picture this storm and the waves and the boat going like this, okay? And you are in that little boat. And Jesus is sitting next to you. But now it's your choice to put your trust in Him. Or, you know, you're like, "Cell phone, where's my cell phone? I'm going to get some help here." You know, do we really trust in the Lord, you know, when there's a storm in our lives? Or are we trying to calm that storm in our own strength? And like Martha, you know, it's not necessarily that Martha had a storm, but she had, you know, she was putting pressure on herself. She was distracted. She was worried and upset. And she didn't enjoy Jesus' visit at all. You know, we can miss God altogether. We can miss life altogether. Because we are burdened and tired all the time. So, you know, if you want to trust in the Lord, the only way you can do it is if you feel safe. And this is why this whole grace, you know, the sermons Andre did. If you didn't attend those Transformed series, please download from the internet. You know, I think the biggest thing I got from that is just that Jesus is for me and I feel safe, you know. And no matter what I've done, what I'm still going to do in the future, I can run to Him, you know. He's never going to leave me, never going to forsake me. And this is a whole thing on its own, but please. And we have books there as well from Joseph Prince, for those of you interested to buy that. So I really want to encourage you to get grips on this whole thing about grace, because Jesus is grace. Okay, this is so important. But Maybe you think, okay, Sonika, that's fine, this whole trust thing. But I've trusted God in the past, and it backfired. I did trust in the Lord once or twice, or maybe 10 times. It didn't work for me. The result was not good. Or maybe you think, you know, okay, I trust Him in this, in this, in this area, but in this one area, I don't know. How do I do that? You know, and if you are at a place tonight where you just can't trust in the Lord. You don't know how. You don't know how to do this trust fall that Luke did into Jesus' arms. You know, jump off a cliff and just hope Jesus is going to catch you. You know what? Tonight we're just going to ask Him to help us trust in Him. You know, it starts by saying, Jesus, I don't trust You, Lord. I don't know how. Help me. Okay, this is where we start. And then we start by making a choice by trusting Him. You know, I know I've told this story many times, and I just want to spend like 2 minutes just saying certain things again. When we moved to East London 1.5 years ago, I think it was probably the biggest thing I had to trust the Lord forever in my whole life. Because my life was so, you know, being Martha and planning all my, you know, all my ducks in a row. You know, I was 5 months pregnant when the decision came up to come to East London. I didn't know anybody in East London. I didn't even know where East London was. I knew nothing. I'm serious now. I knew nothing about East London. I knew it was like kind of between Durban and PE maybe. But in any case, everything was worked out for me. My maternity leave, I would have got my full salary for 5 months. I had already organized somebody to look after my baby after he was, you know, when I go back to work, a good friend of my sister. Oh, everything was just sorted, eh? Everything was worked out. I had the most wonderful gynae. I know maybe it sounds stupid, but for me it was quite... I mean, even Andre liked the man. You know, normally men, you know, it's like hard work for them to go to these visits. But even like Andre didn't mind coming with me. I don't know why that is funny now. But everything was worked out, eh? And when the decision came up, it was just as if everything was pulled out under me, all my support base, my everything. And, you know, I came to a point where I said to God, okay, Lord, what about this? What about this, God? What about this? What about this? What about this? And now I need to find a job in East London again. And it was just, you know, my head was spinning, I'm telling you. It was everything that was so much worked out, and, you know, it was just perfect in Cape Town. And then you know, I came to a point where I just said, God, I don't know. I don't know anybody in East London. I don't know. I know nothing. I don't know how I'm going to survive. Lord, we're going to travel 1,000 kilometers when I'm 35 weeks pregnant, Lord. I just hope the baby, I don't go in labor down the road. You know, it was just, my head was spinning, I'm telling you. And I got to a point where I said, okay, God, I believe You want us to go. I'm doing a trust fall now in Your arms. I believe You're going to sort it out because I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. I could not figure out what's going to happen. You know, and God blessed me far above anything I could have even imagined, I'm telling you. I don't think I've ever been so happy in my whole life as I'm now. I'm happy, I'm fulfilled, I'm working with the most amazing man I know. I work with him every day. Can you believe it? I always, when we just got married, I told it to the girls on Wednesday. I said to him, can I just like climb into you? I know it's like a very girly thing to say, but can I just like climb inside of you and stay there and go with you to work and go with you everywhere you go? You know, it frightened Andre because he just... You know, oh, just give me space, you know? just wanted to be with him. And can you believe it? Now I'm working with him. I see him every day. For me, it's just the most amazing thing. But, you know, God blessed me. And I can't, there's not time to go into everything God blessed me with. But I had to trust him. I had to let go. I had to jump and just hold my breath and believe that God is going to catch me with all the detail. Like I had many, many, many questions for God. What about this? What about this? What about this? And I had to trust him because I didn't have the answers. When we arrived in East London in December 2008, I did not have answers. And God just blessed me. But I had to trust him, you know. So what is the result of trusting in the Lord? I'm going to finish now. What is the result of trusting in the Lord? You allow him to lead you to waters of rest. And this is what we crave, people. This is what we all want and crave. Psalm 23. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. It's also waters of rest, the Bible says. He restores my soul. You can only find that when you trust in the Lord because he will lead you. It says, he makes me to lie down and he leads me beside the still waters. You need to be able to trust him because he's going to lead you to waters of rest. Hebrews 4 verse 9 to 11. I just want to show you that because trusting in God and entering his rest is not a place of passivity. Okay, it's not a place where we just sit down and do nothing. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. And those works are our own dead works, okay? Our own works that make us tired. So there's nothing against works. There's nothing against working hard. There's nothing against serving. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. So it's not something that's just going to happen, okay? Luke had to fall, okay? He had to fall. This is the only thing we have to do. But we have to make that decision. We have to diligently enter God's rest. Okay? It's a decision. And if you feel freaked out by even the idea of falling in God's arms, you say, God, help me. And God will do that. God will do that. What is the result of entering God's rest? I'm ending off with this. I believe there's order in your mind. You can prioritize. You can hear God's voice. You are more productive, actually. You know that the times in my life when I was burdened, when there was a storm inside of me, I was actually unproductive. I was not motivated to work. You just want to run away and go on holiday. But when you enter this rest in your heart, you want to work. You want to get up in the morning. You don't actually mind working overtime from time to time because you have this rest. You have this inner peace and a trust in God. And you know, like Jesus said to Mary, nothing and nobody can take that away from you. No, nobody. Not overtime, not a harsh boss, not conflict in your marriage. Nothing can take it away from you because Jesus is in your boat. Okay? You will have the ability to switch off, you know. When you then go on holiday, you won't come back tired because you'll have the ability to switch off, to sleep. You know, it's nothing, I don't know, there's nothing worse than like going with somebody on holiday or speaking to somebody and that person just can't switch off. You know, you can't switch off. So you don't take holiday, you just, I don't know what you do, but you can't switch off. There will be joy and contentment and purpose in your life. And then the last one, when you are not burdened, I want you to listen carefully to this one. You have the capacity to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And you will have the capacity to love your neighbor as yourself. Because you're not burdened, okay? If you were Martha in that story, she was distracted by much serving. I mean, they should have actually just ordered pizzas, hey? and had a good time. But now she was she didn't enjoy anything that day. Okay? She was distracted. And we need to evaluate our lives. We need to say, sometimes we just need to order pizzas. Okay? In the spirit. Not if you are Hanley, I know. If you're Hanley, you're going to order something else. But sometimes we just need to say, Jesus is visiting today. I'm not going to run around. Okay? I'm not going to prepare the best meal ever for him. I'm just going to enjoy his company. Jesus, do you want a Hawaiian? Do you want chicken and mushroom? We're going to order pizzas. You know, I think sometimes we just put so much pressure on ourselves. In the natural, in the spiritual, and we don't enjoy our relationship with God. And when there's a challenge, when there's a storm, we want to fix it ourselves. And Jesus sit right next to us in the boat. We can just ask him to help us. So if you can maybe just all stand with me. I just want to read you one last scripture. And then I want us to worship that one song we did about Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. You know, you're the reason why I live and you're the reason why I sing. Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. It says, come to me, this is Jesus speaking. Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is really the truth, eh? Because I felt in my heart when we prayed before the time, I really felt that the devil is lying to many of you, saying you can't trust in the Lord. That God is not trustworthy. Or maybe you can trust him 80%, but with that last 20%, it's very dangerous to trust him. And I really want to expose that lie tonight, because it's not the truth. Okay, you can. God is the only one, because people will drop you, but God is the only one that you can trust with all of your heart, with all of your desires and all of your life. And he says, come to me, all you are who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I really want to invite you tonight. I would love to pray for whoever feels burdened tonight. I felt burdened many times in my life. So don't feel embarrassed. I would love to pray with you. I want to ask you, is Jesus in your boat tonight? And if he is, do you trust him? Do you trust him with all of your heart? He's the only one that can calm your storm. He's the only one that can give you true rest. He's the only one. So if we can just close our eyes, I just want to pray. Father, we honor you tonight, God, as a faithful God, as the one that we can trust with all of our hearts. Lord, and tonight we just welcome you in our midst. I welcome your presence here, Lord, and I just pray, have your way now in the name of Jesus. Come, Lord. I pray that you will come and calm our storm. Jesus' name. So if any one of you, if you just want to raise your hand quickly, if there's a storm in your heart that needs to be, you need Jesus to calm that storm, can you please just raise your hand quickly? Or if you feel burdened, eh? You feel burdened, you feel burned out. Okay. God is faithful. God is really faithful. Okay. I'm going to pray for you. If you want, you're welcome, if you want to come to the front, that we can minister to you. If you're not, okay, come. If you want to come, when we sing the song, come to the front. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, you know, you feel, is it really necessary? But sometimes that step in faith is already, you know, just the right step in saying, Jesus, I'm trusting you. So come, if we're going to sing, Dion, if we can just sing the second verse and the chorus, please. So people come, okay? Come, Give your storm to the Lord. Give your anxieties to God. Give every problem, everything that is too much and too big, every sin that you struggle to overcome, give it to the Lord.